Okay, so what we're up to is the part of the Gemara in Bava Basra, which takes up the various gadatas regarding staka. Okay? So, we'll do them, we'll see how many we could do. Hopefully we'll move through a bunch of them. Okay? So, it says like this. So if you recall in the previous, we're on Testament Aleph at the bottom. Bava Basra, Testament Aleph at the bottom. So, the Gemara just quoted a pasuk supporting the Shlishis HaShekel B'Shana based on V'Hamadnu Aleinu Mitzvos. We like, stood upon ourselves or accepted upon ourselves the mitzvos to give a third of a shekel every year to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Okay, so then it says... Oh, that's interesting. It says, the Amar of Asi. Amar of Asi. Shkulot staka k'neged kol ha-mitzvos. Okay, staka is equal all the mitzvos. Okay, it's weight, it's shakel. Can I get all the mitzvos? Shenemar, the hamadnu aleinu mitzvos. Right, we stood upon ourselves, accepted mitzvos. The gomer mitzvah ain ksiv kan ela mitzvos. Right, it doesn't say mitzvah; it says mitzvos. So why is it saying mitzvos? So it must be teaching you that it's equal to all other mitzvos. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because I wasn't sure actually. You know, you see that Tosos? Shenemar v'amad leinu mitzvos?
Yes, that's
nice. So we learned that last week as talking about on the Shlishis HaShekel B'Shana, right? That's Shlishis. How do you know the Shlishis HaShekel B'Shana? We learned that from that pasuk, and Tosus was saying is, oh, but that pasuk is talking about by the Beis Hamikdash. He said, "Kol shekein vayas," but you could learn that it's going on this, right? Because it's saying here that that staka is equal to all the mitzvos, right? So says Afagav the Haikra, Begav Beis Elokeinu. So that pasuk is just showing that Beis Elokeinu is giving to the Beis Hamikdash is equal to all the mitzvos. Dainu bedek vayas, kol shekein staka. Kol shekein staka is can't get all the mitzvos if that's equal to all the mitzvos. So I don't know. I think the Sifta wanted to learn it on the first part. But, I mean, you could say that it's talking about on this. And I don't know how you know. I mean, they both quote the same Pasuk. Shemavan Lenu Mitzvahs. So I don't know how one would determine which one is going on. But, okay. But either way, right? Either way, I mean, I guess it's a kasha on both of them. Because you're learning out the Halacha and the Devar Agada. Both from this pasuk, which is a pasuk regarding the Beis Hamikdash. So, I mean, in theory, it's applicable to both. So, I don't know. Whatever. So, but the question is, what's this idea? That staka is shakel, can I get all the mitzvahs? Right? I guess you could ask, him, like, in what framework? What does that mean, it's equal to all the mitzvahs? Right? So, I was thinking like this. Okay? It's somewhat open-ended question, but I was thinking maybe it means in terms of the difficulty. Okay, which means that mitzvahs asay, typically, are not especially difficult. I mean, they're important. Every mitzvah asay is an important idea. But the ideas, the mitzvahs asay, bring to mind various ideas. And you do them, and they bring to mind ideas, and that's good for you. But staka is especially difficult because it's going against the most basic, or one of your most basic desires of drives of money, right? To the self. So it's like it's directly countering yourself, your sense of self and your self-centeredness, right? In a way which I don't know, other mitzvahs don't quite do. So it's like it's weighty, like the quantitative difficulty. And so shkula is like a quantitative term. It's like a weight. It's the difficulty in mitzvah staka is to accept upon yourself to do mitzvah staka properly is very hard. Because it's going so it's so against the grain. Maybe in los asays, maybe it's more, you know, you have to restrict your ativas or something. But here, it's like you're actively taking on your base self-centeredness. Now, what's the point? Who cares? Right? Mm-hmm. Why does it need to tell us that? Right? So, maybe two things. One is, it's good to know your opponent. Right? If you have a hard time doing staka, you should realize this is I mean, it's could be just related to what Ken's saying. It's like, it's by its nature a very difficult mitzvah, and there's a great opportunity for growth because of that. It's like you're going against something which is very core and deep in your personality. So if you're having a hard time with that, don't despair. Don't feel like it's a problem. It's a problem, but it's a very, very difficult mitzvah. It's kind of at the level which is not normally in line with the demands which Torah makes that we do. At least in the mitzvah say, to actively do something that hard. And secondly, if I guess that's one way to look at it. Another way, if you're successful at doing it, you should take chizuk and realize like it's a good thing and you're in a good direction. It's like it's valuable to know the place a mitzvah has or any challenge has and where it fits into and the difficulties involved in it, and point that out to a person. This is something which takes a special type of a focus because of the challenge. You know, that it's when you do it, it's like you're doing mitzvahs. You're just doing a mitzvah. That's not just any mitzvah. It's when you take upon yourself, commit yourself to doing tzedakah, that's like, it's like you're committing yourself to mitzvahs. Because it's more, because of its difficulty in your emotionally. I think it's interesting, it's like, usually mitzvahs, this is like a different point, I guess, but like, the Torah generally is not so hard. I mean, the mitzvahs are a lot of mitzvahs you have to do, but mitzvahs typically are not, I mean, they're difficult because we don't want to be told what to do, right? And we don't want to have to align ourselves with something when and where. But typically mitzvahs aren't that hard. What's the hardest mitzvah? I mean, I don't know. It's fascinating of Kippur. Something, I don't know. It's like, just not, it doesn't ask us to do things which are very hard. But giving away your money is a big challenge. And obviously different people have different feelings towards this, and it's different for different people. Some people are generous by their nature and they have an easier time. But I mean, I think anyone, you know, maybe a lot of people are big Baalei Tzedakah, but those are people who have a lot of money. But I don't know if any person finds it easy, let's say, to give miser, for example. You know, you may say people give millions of dollars in Tzedakah. People, how much do they make? Is it easy for them to give, you know, if they're making $100 million, is it easy for them to give $10 million to Tzedakah? I don't know, it's not, maybe it's not so easy. You know, so it's a mitzvah, which is it's a challenge.
So what about the swish? Shouldn't this go off?
Well, the idea is, I think, is the idea of the action of giving tzedakah itself has that impact, as you're giving of yourself. Obviously, the different amounts, but what I'm saying is the mitzvah tzedakah itself is a difficult mitzvah. Now, I'm just making a point that, you know, if you do it, if you want to do it maybe in an inferior manner, maybe in a chanami, it's not as difficult because you're doing it in a fair manner. It's still difficult. Even giving money, even if an ani comes to you, comes by in yeshiva, and you give him a dollar. It's not easy. It's only a dollar. It's just that. It's like, you know, it's your money. You know, the person has a resistance towards giving away your money, right? And everything we do in a certain sense is, or a lot of what we do is to get money, right? And we're just going to give it away, right? So it runs against the grain. But you're right, I guess, even on a minimal level. And it could be that's why maybe if you learn the Tosas on this, saying that's better than bias, maybe it's easier to give it to the Beis HaMikdash. It's another thing to give it to another human being. That's already hard. You know, it's like runs against, because it's like it's part of the challenge is because your nature is me as opposed to other people. And that's my money, is like putting myself up above everyone else. So to give it to another human being is harder, more challenging than giving it to the Mikdash. Mikdash is like giving it a lot of shem. That's, you know. Well, often people have much easier time being able to makom things in the chavera. So I'm not sure if this chazal is going on, you know, on the that tosis is going on. I mean, it sounds like that. I mean, the pasuk is learning it from is based on giving to the bias. So it seems like it's in both, but that's good because in both of them it's giving away your money. So that's why I'd say it's the giving away the money aspect, which is what makes it chazal kenegel mitzvos. That idea, what is asking you to do, is much different than to listen to a shofar or to take a lulav or to whatever. So the very nature of the thing is to take your money and give it away. The saying is weighty, kenegel kol mitzvos. It means in difficulty, in weight. If you have to measure the challenge of the mitzvos, it's equal to them. It's like you could have harder, it's a hard, a person could have a harder time. A person could do all the mitzvos well without much difficulty, but then when it comes to this mitzvah, he finds that it's, you know, you'd rather do 20 mitzvahs than do this one mitzvah, you know?
people could run after this. But are you going to run after, you know, if you run after a lot of mitzvahs, but this mitzvah, it's weighty. I'm saying it's a quantitative thing. It's not saying that it is connected. Like Avodah Zarah, it says if you deny Avodah Zarah, it's like you're a modu kol tar kulan, if you vice versa. That's like a philosophical equation, if you will. Saying this is not saying that it is the same as all the other mitzvahs, and it's conceptually related. I'm saying it's shakula. It's like the weight of it. The weight upon your shoulders. The weight upon the person's emotions, which it exerts, is it gives people more resistance than all the mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs. I mean, of course, every person is different. Maybe so one certain guy has this issue with shofar, I don't know, whatever. But in general, you know, that's the case. It's a general statement. I'll make extreme statements to exaggerate, sometimes exaggerant, but they want to bring out a point. That's a way of, you know, bringing out a point. So, but I don't know. I'm not so sure if it's that extreme. I do think it's, you could have people who could do many, 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 many mitzvahs, but when it comes to money, to giving away money, they can't do it. So that would, you know, I don't think that would be all too, you know, rare a phenomenon. So there is a framework in which it's, you know, you can add up a lot of easy mitzvahs. It doesn't make it as hard as one hard mitzvah. So there's an idea that the weightiness of it is, look, the difficulty in all the mitzvahs is I don't want to be told what to do. Well, giving away your money is itself like being, it's like, it's going against the self. You could argue, look, all the mitzvahs are hard because they're an imposition on your own self. But giving tzedakah is a direct imposition on your own self. The difficulty in all the mitzvahs is just the imposition on the self that you don't want to have to be, you know, under a system. But giving someone your money is like directly countering that. Yeah, so that's the difference between, I think, spending money on the law versus giving tzedakah. Because giving tzedakah is just giving. It's like there's an idea. It's like you're taking a little of the mitzvahs. Everything in life costs money. But that's like accidental to the thing. Look, you're getting an object, you're getting something from it. You're getting a lulav, you're getting a sukkah, you're getting whatever. So that's like an idea, is you value the mitzvah, and some things cost money in life. But here you're just giving away your money. It's like it's directly against that sense. Your whole other thing is you're trying to get money, and here you're just giving it away. But you're buying something, okay, you're buying a lot, you buy things. That's the way, that's life. You buy things. The next. So then the verse is like this. Omer Avalazar, Gadol Hamaisa Yoser Min Haosa. Greater is the person who forces other people or gets other people to give tzedakah more than the one who does tzedakah. Okay. Shenamar. V'haya Maisa Had Tzedakah Shalom. V'avodas Had Tzedakah Hashket V'vetach Ad Olam. So the ma'aseh of tzedakah, which literally means the action of tzedakah, shalom is peace. The avodah of tzedakah is hashkir vetach, like tranquility and security at olam. Okay. So therefore, it's learning out Rashi ma'aseh hatzedakah torach hamaasim es chavareihem. The bother of like forcing your friends. It looks at Vahyasa Tztaka Shalom. It doesn't say Tztaka Shalom, but it says Maisa Tztaka Shalom. So the thing is, it's alluding to the fact that that's even greater.
I just grabbed the shell. Is that what you have? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is
Mi'asa? Yeah, Mi'asa. Right. It's like Mi'asa.
You're forcing someone else to do it. You're saying that's the greatest thing. That's greater. We talked about this earlier, right? We said the Gavai Tztaka,
nobody likes him. He's not popular. Because, and we said like this, is that it's one thing to give your money. So giving your money is very hard. But at the same time, you feel good. People, after all, put your name on buildings. Or they respect you, or you feel good about yourself, that you just gave of yourself. That's a very hard thing to do. But the guy who is the one who's forcing other people to give tzedakah, on the contrary, he's unpopular. He's underappreciated, right? No one's going to give him a shkayach, right? He's the annoying guy who's always asking people to give money, right? And you feel that way also. You feel like a nudge. You feel like you're asking people to do what you don't want, what they don't want to do. So that's... that's part of what part of our motivation in mitzvahs is the way we feel and the way others treat us when we do them, right? So it's equally important, because after all, it's that guy gets 100 mm-hmm. people or whatever it is to give tzedakah, you know. So that's like a much greater, in a certain sense, it goes further than one guy's giving of tzedakah, right? But without all the feeling of feeling good about yourself. So it's like more of a lishma type of a thing. It's a tzedakah, which is more rooted in a person appreciating the value and the significance of tzedakah, and without the lo lishma, you know, benefits of giving tzedakah. So that like moves a person, perfects a person, brings him towards the appreciation of the value of tzedakah in a more significant way. Even though he's not giving up of his money. But I guess it's saying is giving up of the social standing and of the feeling good about yourself, you know, not getting the feeling good about yourself is a higher level than the giving up of the money. Because even though the giving up of the money is very hard, it does come with benefits, which this does not come with. Right? And again, I think in general, there'll be more money, which is due to this guy, than the one guy who gives. Of course, it depends on how much the person gives, but in general, this guy causes everyone to give. So in terms of the end goal, you know, there's arguably he generates more money than the givers, right?
What do you make of the Maaseh Tzedakah Shalom? What's Shalom?
So maybe Shalom is because it's like Shalom is conflicts, right? Fights. I mean, Shalom is the removal of conflicts, that is, right? Peace. Now, what gets in the way of Shalom is people's egos, right? Every person is self-interested, and a person naturally, my emotions are going to conflict with your emotions, and that's what creates fights, right? Pettiness. Everyone is all over the world is filled with these things, right? Because naturally, obviously, my emotions aren't going to be in line with your emotions, right? They're different. I have my wants, you have your wants, and they typically clash, and that creates fights. But the way to bring about shalom is through a person being able to subordinate the self and recognize a greater reality beyond the self, recognize you're one part of a bigger picture, and just because you want something very strongly, then there's another person also, and he also wants it very strongly, and you have to learn to live with the other person and be machshav of your needs like other people's needs. And that's what brings about shalom in a society and in your personal world, right? Person who can't get beyond the self is going to very often be in conflict with other people and be fighting and bickering and questioning. Right? Person has to realize, so usually we are machshav of our own emotions much more than other people's. And of course, ours are better than the other guy, no doubt, but, you know, that's what he thinks also. So we're right, of course, but, you know. So the shalom, so tzedakah is a mitzvah which directly counters that. Because it's demanding a person recognize, put the self on hold, and recognize the importance of other people, and other people have needs as well, right? And let's talk about giving tzedakah first. The giving of tzedakah is you're taking your own money, which is yours, right? And you're totally, it's an action of recognizing the other person and giving them. So that really brings about shalom. The society which is about tzedakah is a society which recognizes other people's needs, and it's going to be a society where my needs conflict with yours, you will be able to work it out, because sometimes it's self-centered. It helps break a person's self-centeredness. And the Maaseh Tzedakah also does that, because he's also giving up his social standing, and he's putting pressure on people and all that, because the same thing, he recognizes the importance of other people, the importance of the world having, you know, having their needs taken care of, everybody having their needs taken care of. So it's true, at the moment, obviously, it's going to be put pressure on people. But ultimately, when people do give their stuff, it allows them to break their attachment to themselves, and that ultimately brings about shalom in a society. The Siddur understands that it's just like repetitive. I mean, the question is, are these two things together? I mean, the Gemara is not bringing up the shalom point, right? The Gemara is just bringing up that it's greater. I'm just learning to take the pasuk. What does Maaseh Tzedakah have to do with shalom? Right, but the plain shot in the pasuk doesn't mean you force somebody. Plain shot in the pasuk means doing tzedakah, and he's just saying Maaseh Tzedakah Shalom, and then also Avodah Tzedakah Hashkevetach. Right, this the Mitzvah just says it means Vigmol Hatzdaka Tavo Shalom, Vavodas Hatzdaka Kefal Hadavar V'Milim Shanas. Right, it's like it's the same basic idea. Bavor Maisa Tzdaka Sheyasu Yelam Shalom, Bavor Vodas Hatzdaka Yelam Hashke Veveta Harolam. Yeah. So I don't know that the Gemara is comparing that this, you know, Maisa refers to the forcers and then
How's the Raya?
How's what?
How's the Raya that the Maas is greater?
Says greater is based on the draw of the Lashon. In other words, it's really the pasuk itself is saying Tzedakah Shalom, doing Tzedakah Shalom. But it should have said Oset Tzedakah Shalom. Instead, it said Maasa Shalom, Tzedakah Shalom. So it's being doresh that the higher level is really the Maasa over the Osa. So it's like the plain pshat, it means the same thing, but it's the grammar is changed to reflect that there's a higher ideal than even doing Tzedakah, which is when you're Maasa Tzedakah.
But how do you see it's a higher ideal than the
past? Oh, because when it wants to talk about the what happens when you give tzedakah, it uses the good thing which happens when you give tzedakah, it uses a word which, if you read it carefully, it references this form of giving tzedakah, this form of tzedakah, other than the form of giving tzedakah. So why is it referencing that? When it's praising the midah of tzedakah, it's using as referencing the ma'asa and not the osa. Because the Ma'asa is even higher than the Osa. So it's describing the giving of Tzedakah in a term which refers to the highest form. But in Echanami, it includes within it the basic Ma'asa of Tzedakah. It's just that if you wanted to only say that, you should have just used the normal way. But it uses this choice of words because it references a higher level. Okay. The Gemara is not going to say for the Pasuk, it's just going to the ratio of the Pasuk. Ma'aseh Tzedakah Shalom, that's just the end of the pasuk. But it's the Ma'aseh Tzedakah Shalom. It could have said Oseh Tzedakah Shalom, but it says Ma'aseh Tzedakah Shalom to show you there's a higher form of being Oseh Tzedakah, which is Ma'aseh. But I don't think that's like plain shot of Ma'aseh, it means one who forces. It's like, it's the Ma'aseh Tzedakah, whatever. Ma'aseh Tzedakah, I mean, the greater the Kudos are Ma'aseh. It's action. But it lends itself to being read. Like a me'asa. But it doesn't, that's not actually how you read it. Let's go further. Okay, so then what does it say? Zacha, and I'm not sure where this is basing it on. Maybe it's on the higher part of the pasuk. But Zacha, if you're Zacha, hello, parosu av lachmecha. Okay, then the pasuk is, you'll spread forth to a hungry person your bread. Lo Zacha, if you're not Zacha, v'aniyim erudim tavi bayis. Okay, so that's that pasuk in Yeshayahu Nunchas. Okay, but the pasuk is saying, let me just see that. Zion. Now, we won't have that pasuk earlier. Remember, that was the pasuk about Bedika?
Yeah.
The check for different things, right? For the Ksus and the Mazanos. So, Los Parloch Och Mecha, right? It's not to share your bread with hungry. Aniyim Rudin Tavi Bias. In the morning poor, you shall bring home. Okay. So it's talking about different forms of tzedakah you should do. But hello, paros lo'avachmacha, spread forth to the hungry person your bread, and aniyim erudim you should bring to your house. So what does that mean? So Rashi says like this. So Gemara Sanhedrin is saying zacha. It's like contrasting. There's the good way and the bad way. Zacha l'mazel tov. If you're zocha to have a good mazel, aniyim, right, then you'll be able to give your bread to nani. But aniyim erudim zumem sheles romi. This is the kingdom of the Romans. Okay? Shetzoekas tamid. Havu havu shanutrichem. That there was complaining. Give. We need money. So that's aniyim merudim tavi bayis. It means, like these, I guess, rebellious aniyim, namely the Romans, who are going to have to bring into your house or give them your staff. So the thing is, if you're zocha, you'll be able to give your money to poor people, hungry people. If you're not Zocha, then you'll give your money to the Romans. Sounds like he's saying, look, either way, you're going to give your money. Right? If you're Zocha, you'll give it to, I guess, Jews, hungry Jews. If you're not Zocha, you're going to give it to the Romans. Right? That's a little strange, right?
But the Merudim,
still the same amount of money.
I'm saying
Merudim, it says Kun Pelaint Belaz Kemo Orid Besichi, but they say Lazer Rashi says Yalala, so it means like they're crying. So Nim Rudim is like crying on him, and that's what he's saying is the Romans are always crying out. We need, give us. Yeah. So was that a tiny bit further than Gemara? I think it's related. It says Amalehu Rava Levnei Mechuzah. Rava said to the people of Mechuzah, "Bimatusa minaycho." It means like I beg of you. I believe that's what it means. Osu b'hadi hadadi, force each other to give tzedakah. Kehechi de lahavi lehu shalma b'mechuzah. So you'll have peace in your kingdom, right? Which is arguably based upon a similar point, right? He's saying is that if you don't force each other to give tzedakah, then maybe the Romans are gonna get it. You're not gonna have peace. I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, you could learn it means the other point about shalom, right? Shalom, like, you know, they'll have peace amongst each other. But he's begging of them. It sounds like he's saying, I don't know. It's not clear what it means. Rashi doesn't quite explain. So you could learn it, and I guess referring to the other point about just tzedakah brings about shalom, or you could say it's talking about shalom machusa, means like the kingdom, that you'll be able to, sounds like that, machusa with the kingdom, right? But how does that work, right? Okay, so the first thing, the first thing that Isaac was saying is that one thing is in terms of hashgacha, which is that if Klal Yisrael, or if the person gives tzedakah, so it means they have a proper perspective on money. They relate to their money as manas Hashem, and they're willing to give of their money towards other people of needs beyond themselves. So then it's likely that the hashgacha will be with them and will allow them to have their money and to make them successful. They're using their money properly in line with proper ideals. However, if a person is hoarding his money and not giving his money, it means you just relate to your money as your own, like Kochiv El Tzmiyadi. And so far as an individual or a Klal Yisrael relates to it that way, then that money isn't benefiting you. On the contrary, it's harming you. Right? So then it's not likely that Hashem is not going to protect you. On the contrary, the Onesh will help you have a more proper perspective. It's a general theme in the Hashgacha, is to the degree which you're on a proper path, and your money or in anything is like if you're learning Torah, then they'll have they do all the mitzvahs, then Mayim Shema will rain for you and allow you to continue to do that. If you're not doing the mitzvahs, now you're just enjoying the land because you want to enjoy the land, or you're not keeping Shemitah, then Hashem will throw you out of the land. So the thing is, the degree that a person tzedakah does impact how you relate to your money, and how you relate to your money will largely impact, or is a big factor in terms of hashgacha, whether Hashem will continue to give you money or he'll get your money taken from you. So you giving the money of tzedakah benefits you. You're involved in giving to Aniyim, and you're helping Klal Yisrael, helping yourself. But having them take it from you doesn't really benefit you. I mean, it does ultimately cause you to break your attachment to your money, but in a much more painful, right? It's almost like either way, you got to break your attachment to money. You know, either you can do it willfully through mitzvah tzedakah, or you can have it happen to you, you know, against your will by the, you know, Romans taking it from you. Right. Yeah, I think there's another point, an interesting point, which is that a person doesn't want to give their money because they try, like a person hoards their money and feels like this is my money and I'm going to hold on to it. Right? But I think there's an error. It's like a person could imagine hoarding all their money, not giving any tzedakah. Hoarding all their money, right? And then, sure enough, the Romans come and they take it all from you. There's an irony in that, right? Which is like a person feels, who doesn't want to give tzedakah, has this overconfidence or an over-secure, a sense of security in what he could do, how much control he has over the world. And he's not going to give his money because this is my money. I earned it hard. I need to hold on to it. I need it, right? And then sure enough, he can have the role. He's not giving to the people who really need it, the mitzvah tzedakah, because after all, he needs every last penny. And then sure enough, he could get totally swindled by the Romans. There's nothing you can do about it. So it's important for a person to realize, like, there's a certain fantasy a person has over the degree of control that they have over their money, and that's part of why you don't want to be giving tzedakah, because you can't relinquish your control. This is my money. But the world doesn't work that way. That's a fantasy. Sometimes it does, but very often, even rich people end up losing their money, which simply because of, like, the Romans or something like that. So, like, when you think of the fact, like, very often, you have a lot of money, very often you will end up losing your money. You think you won't, but you will. You could lose it in a good way, you could lose it in a bad way. You could lose it by giving tzedakah in a beneficial way, and you giving it up, and you helping your benefit your midos. Or you could hoard it and do all that, and then sure enough, it can end up happening that you'll end up losing it. It goes well with the other idea of hashgacha, because oftentimes that will be a direct cause of you losing it. But I think it's just simply appreciating the fact that you have less control over your money than you think you do will make you less tied to your money in a strong way. You know, allow you to part with your money in a way which is beneficial for you. You know, and will help you be able to give tzedakah. So like by telling a person, if you're zocha, you'll give it this way, if you're not zocha, you'll give it that way, it kind of brings up the fact that you think you have such control over your money, but it's not, you know. The little amount you can give, the 10% you give to the Niyam, is nothing compared to the amount that you could just have you lose it from, you know, from the Romans. So, don't be so over-attached to your wealth. There's another point there, I think, also, is a person who's improper attachment to wealth, that they can't give it up, it makes mistakes in business itself. Just Peter Khateva, forget about the schar. Just that a person or the onesh. But if a person can't give up a penny, for instance, in business, they're not going to be able to invest money into their business. And investing money into your business might end up growing your business. You may not be able to take a loss in a trading position or something like that. Or you know, to take a risk, which is a good risk, but because you have... And the degree that a person's emotions are involved, and their fantasies are involved in their wealth, then they're going to be less on the ball and making good decisions in regarding their money, because their emotions are going to cloud their judgment. And through the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, a person is able to break that false attachment to their wealth, to be able to recognize what their wealth does and their place, and you know their wealth is. You know, they're themselves, that's themselves important, but there are other people also, and you're able to give of your money and to spend of your money, and that, in general, I don't know if it necessarily ties the Romans, per se, but I think just in general, an idea about giving tzedakah is that it helps a person have a proper relationship to money, which itself helps a person make more money. But I'm not sure if that's going to help with the Roman thing, though. That could be like, maybe that could be with Rava's point. Is it give it tzedakah so that you'll be able to... Well, I don't know. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
I'll read one more here. Okay, maybe it says... Amar Rav Elazar, Bezman Shebeis Mikdash Kayem Adam Shokel Shekla U'Mistafirla.
The time of the Beis Mikdash, a person would give his shekel, his machzah shekel, and he'd have a kapara.
Ach Shoshem Beis Mikdash Kayem. Now there's no Beis Mikdash. Imos in tzedakah mutav. If you do tzedakah, great. If not, then the Goyim will come and take it forcibly. And even though it's taken forcibly by the Goyim, it's considered a tzedakah for you. Right, those who pressure you are tzedakah. Good question. Nechshav lahem. Does it mean nechshav for the Gayim or nechshav for you? Tzedakah. I know. Who's lahem? For them who they take from or from them who take it?
What difference does it make?
I'm just saying, does it mean that it's considered the Romans are doing tzedakah by taking your money, or does it mean that you're considered giving tzedakah by them taking your money? It's like you gave to them tzedakah, or you gave tzedakah somehow. Not they're giving tzedakah, right? How are they giving tzedakah? You're the one who's giving the money, right? Mm-hmm. Right, okay, but that's strange, no? I mean, how is them taking your money tzedakah? Right?
What does Beis Mikdash have to do with that? Beis Mikdash and the shekel, right? I mean, there's still tzedakah in the time of Beis Mikdash. I mean, machzah shekel is towards the kavanos. But what's it saying? Is that you give machzah shekel, then that's...
Right, it's kapir of eros.
But then nowadays you don't have that, so now we have to give tzedakah. Otherwise, the Gaim are going to take it. And what about in those times? If we didn't give tzedakah, but we gave machzah shekel, then the Gaim aren't going to come and take it? Well, pikein means even though they're taking it by force, it still counts for you tzedakah. In other words, nowadays, basically, you got to do tzedakah. Now, you can give tzedakah willingly, or they'll take it for you, and they'll still count as tzedakah. Either way, you're going to be about tzedakah. The question is, do you want to be about tzedakah by giving it yourself, or do you want to be about tzedakah by the Gaim taking it for you?
But either way, it counts like tzedakah. You give your shekel, and it's mechaper lo, slam, mechaper for whatever, your veros. Nowadays, you need, if you do tzedakah, good. If you don't do tzedakah, then they're going to take your money. But I answer, what's the connection?
Exactly.
I don't know, what is the connection?
Exactly.
It sounds like somehow nowadays we don't have the shekel for a kapara, but maybe tzedakah is a kapara. I don't know, it's not clear, right? The whole thing, it's like not a clear continuity in this whole thing, right? Up here, and let's go for the next time. So my plan is to try to just like, you know, this kind of pace. Again, there's a bunch of chazals that keep going and going and going. So just to try to do a few each day and still kind of move through it. It'll probably take us a few more days till, you know. But I just getting a feel for, you know.